Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we dive into Sex at Dawn by Christopher Ryan and Casilda Jetha. This provocative book challenges the widely accepted concept of monogamy as the natural state of human relationships. Packed with insights from anthropology, psychology, and evolutionary biology, Sex at Dawn explores how the norms of fidelity and monogamy conflict with human nature, tracing back to our primate ancestors and the agricultural revolution. Authors Christopher Ryan, an author and journalist with a PhD in psychology, and Casilda Jetha, a physician and psychiatrist, bring a multidisciplinary approach to questioning the societal expectations surrounding our sex lives. They argue that understanding our evolutionary predisposition towards promiscuity could lead to healthier and more honest relationships. This episode is a must-listen for anyone curious about the natural state of human sexuality, those feeling the pressures of monogamy, or readers interested in evolutionary psychology. Join us as we unpack the historical and biological reasons why human beings may not be cut out for monogamy, and discover how shifting perspectives on relationships could lead to a happier society. Tune in to 20 Minute Books for a thought-provoking discussion on Sex at Dawn. Sex at Dawn: How We Mate, Why We Stray, and What It Means for Modern Relationships. Introduction. Why monogamy might not be the natural state for human relationships. Do you ever think about why some people risk everything, careers, family, sanity, over an extramarital affair? Imagine jeopardizing it all for a fleeting moment of passion. It's hardly uncommon. Headlines and histories are littered with such tales. Take former US President Bill Clinton, for instance. Then there's the darker side, where in some parts of the world, the price of adultery can be as severe as death. Despite these dire consequences, the temptation for external romantic pursuits remains a vivid streak in human behavior. These observations challenge the conventional wisdom that humans are innately monogamous beings, programmed for a lifetime of exclusivity with one partner. Mainstream narratives promote a simple life trajectory: grow up, find a mate, and settle down into a nuclear family. Yet with rising divorce rates and frequent discussions about the perils of hookup culture, it's essential to question whether this societal blueprint aligns with human sexual nature. Sex at Dawn brings this debate into the limelight by exploring the possibility that monogamy may not be the natural human condition. This thought-provoking work suggests that the roots of modern human sexuality are vastly different from the monogamous relationships society commonly endorses. In this revealing exploration, you'll discover the inherent challenges of monogamy and why many relationships struggle to maintain it, the vital role casual sexual relationships played in the survival and evolution of early humans, intriguing explanations for why women vocalize during sex and why their path to climax takes a winding route, the detrimental impacts that the advent of agriculture had on human health and societal happiness, compelling parallels between the sexual and social behaviors of our early ancestors and those of chimpanzees and bonobos. Each point offers a window into understanding how far our societal norms about relationships may stray from our natural inclinations and evolutionary history. Perhaps it's time to reconsider what we've been taught about the fundamentals of human love and desire. Part 1: The Age-Old Practice of Communal Intimacy in Human Societies. Imagine asking your friends about their sexual histories. For some, the answer might require no more than the fingers on one hand. For others, a more extensive list might come into play. But neither would come close to the number of partners typical to our hunter-gatherer ancestors. In those early human tribes, and in certain indigenous communities that still exist today, casual sexual relations were not just accepted, but were considered the norm. This open approach to sex traces back to the fundamental principle of sharing, which underpinned the survival strategies of pre-agricultural societies. Life for nomadic hunter-gatherers in small tribes seldom numbering more than 150 individuals, depended on a communal sharing system that extended to food, shelter, childcare, and yes, sexual interactions. In such environments, engaging in sexual activity was not confined to exclusive pairings. Both men and women in these societies had multiple sexual partners, fostering a multi-male, multi-female mating system. This practice wasn't just about physical pleasure, it played a crucial role in maintaining a peaceful, cooperative, and content community. As societies evolved and agriculture took hold, these communal sexual practices began to wane, making room for more structured societal norms, many of which emphasized sexual exclusivity and monogamy. Despite this significant cultural shift, the basic human drive for sexual connection proved resilient. Historical attitudes towards monogamy highlight its perceived unnaturalness. For instance, in ancient Rome, the concept of lifelong sexual exclusivity was often scoffed at, even within marriage. Roman brides were known to participate in orgies prior to their weddings, a ritual aimed at pacifying nature for the monogamous life they were about to commence. Fast forward to contemporary times, some indigenous groups continue to embrace the sexual freedom of their ancestors. Among the Warao people of Venezuela and Guyana, for example, societal norms and restrictions are suspended during certain rituals, permitting individuals to engage in sexual relations with different partners. This enduring thread of sexual communalism in human history prompts a reconsideration of our modern-day sexual norms and the natural predispositions towards sexuality embedded in our species. Part 2: How shared fatherhood and communal sexuality bolstered early human societies. Consider a typical scene on a modern daytime talk show where dramatic revelations of paternity are a common spectacle. Contrasting sharply with this is the social structure of some South American tribes, where the concept of fatherhood extends beyond biological boundaries. In these societies, the notion of a single father for each child is replaced by collective paternal responsibility. Take the Aceh tribe, for example. They recognize four types of fathers: the biological father, the men who contributed genetically, and those who add to the child's spiritual and emotional essence. This belief encourages Aceh women to embrace sexual relations with multiple men, effectively collecting and mixing semen in the process. This approach to reproduction and social structure is not merely a fascinating cultural detail, but an adaptive strategy that improves group survival rates. In environments where our ancestors had scarce understanding of the biological specifics of conception, paternity was a communal concept rather than an individual one. Every male in the community potentially played a role in parenting every child, fostering a cooperative spirit that extended to the sharing of resources like food and shelter. Furthermore, the societal embrace of casual sexual relationships played a significant role in strengthening community bonds. The act of sex releases oxytocin, often dubbed nature's ecstasy, which promotes feelings of peace, connection, and happiness among individuals. This biochemical reaction not only solidified interpersonal relationships, but also enhanced the cooperative ethos essential for survival. Interestingly, these socio-erotic exchanges were not limited to heterosexual pairings, but included same-sex interactions as well, indicating a comprehensive form of sexual socializing that transcended modern categories of sexual orientation. Given such integrated and harmonious communal practices, one might wonder how contemporary societies shifted towards strict monogamy, often casting promiscuity in a negative light. As we'll explore, this transformation was largely influenced by the advent and spread of agricultural practices, marking a profound shift in human social structures and personal relationships. Part 3: The shift to agriculture and its impact on sexual liberty and social inequality. It's often touted that the dawn of agriculture was a monumental leap forward for human civilization, heralding an era of food security and social development. However, modern research suggests that this transition may have actually been a double-edged sword. As humans settled to farm and domesticate animals, not only did our diets become less varied and our general health declined, but our social structures and sexual freedoms were also drastically altered. In the days of nomadic hunter-gathering, life was characterized by movement and sharing. With no fixed abode, possessions were minimal and largely communal, including food which was shared widely to prevent waste. This lifestyle didn't just prevent material accumulation, but also discouraged the development of possessiveness and jealousy. However, the stabilization provided by agriculture changed everything. The ability to grow and store crops led to the notion of ownership and accumulation of wealth. This newfound possibility to amass and inherit property introduced stark socioeconomic divides, a concept previously alien to hunter-gatherers. This division gave rise to social strife, including hunger and conflicts over resources. More critically, the rise of agriculture brought about a significant regression in sexual freedom and the status of women. The principle of possession now extended to human relationships and reproductive rights. Wealthy landowners, in particular, were keen on identifying their biological offspring to pass on their estates, resulting in an unprecedented control over women's sexualities. This was enforced through means ranging from public shaming and coercion to institutionalized systems like marriage. Concurrently, as farming became predominantly a male occupation, women's pivotal roles as gatherers diminished, relegating them increasingly to domestic spheres focused on child rearing. This shift contributed to the erroneous perception of a weaker female libido, a myth that has been significantly debunked in modern times. Thus, while agriculture enabled certain advancements, it also compromised the egalitarian and sexually liberal practices that had typified human society during the hunter-gatherer era. Part 4. Exploring the depth and complexity of female sexuality. We've often been led to believe, through cultural narratives and societal norms, that men possess inherently stronger sexual desires than women. Traditionally framed as more demure and reserved, the supposed sexual temperament of women has been a topic of many a misconception. But how accurate are these beliefs? Surprisingly, not at all. Research now indicates that not only is a woman's libido as potent as a man's, it might even be more multifaceted and complex. In an enlightening study involving both heterosexual and homosexual men and women, participants were shown a range of erotic films while their physiological responses were measured using electrodes monitoring blood flow to their genitals. The findings revealed that women, much like their male counterparts, experienced significant levels of physical arousal. What's more intriguing is the pattern of arousal found among women in the study. While men and homosexual women responded most intensely to visual stimuli featuring their preferred sex, heterosexual women displayed physical excitement towards a much broader spectrum of erotic scenarios, including footage of copulating bonobos. This suggests a remarkable fluidity and breadth in female sexual responsiveness. However, despite comparable levels of physiological arousal, the women in the study reported less excitement when asked to verbally express their feelings. This discrepancy highlights a societal expectation placed on women to appear more sexually reserved, which they subconsciously conform to. These findings suggest that female desire is not only potent, but also highly adaptable and responsive to a variety of stimuli. Moreover, women have a pronounced ability to modulate their sexual expressions in line with social expectations. This research lends credence to the idea that both men and women were evolutionarily predisposed to promiscuity, challenging long-held notions about human sexual behavior. As we delve deeper into the sexual and social lives of our closest primate relatives, the chimps and bonobos, it becomes clearer how similar patterns might have influenced the sexual dynamics of our ancestors in their primitive communities. Part 5. Insights into human sexuality, through our primate cousins, the chimps and bonobos. With only a 1.6% difference in DNA, chimps and bonobos serve as our closest genetic relatives among the primates, offering profound insights into inherent human behaviors and social structures. Observing these primates' behaviors gives us a mirror to possibly understand the underpinnings of our own actions and societal norms. Chimps and bonobos lead intensely active sexual lives characterized by a level of promiscuity that echoes the early human societies discussed earlier. Residing in close-knit communities, these primates strengthen their social bonds through frequent sexual interaction, which also plays a crucial role in managing conflicts and maintaining peace, especially within bonobo societies. In bonobo communities, sexuality is not just a means of reproduction, but a pivotal societal function. Females often enjoy high status and leverage sexual interactions to mediate tensions among males. This practice fosters egalitarian and female-centric groups. Such behavior is highlighted by the female bonobos' willingness to engage with multiple males in quick succession, along with their enjoyment of physical pleasures like orgasms, oral sex, and kissing. These behaviors strikingly resemble those of early human hunter-gatherer communities, where sex was a communal resource rather than a monogamous commitment. This suggests that the often upheld belief in inherent human monogamy may be more cultural than biological. Interestingly, when looking for examples of monogamy in primates, we have to refer back to a much more distant relative, the gibbon. Gibbons live in much more secluded, pair-focused relationships, starkly different from the communal sexual practices observed in humans, chimps, and bonobos. This connection, not only in behavioral traits but also in the physical anatomy among humans, chimps, and bonobos, such as the relatively large size of male genitalia adapted for a promiscuous lifestyle, underscores a significant evolutionary link. These parallels challenge the traditional views on human sexuality and suggest a more complex, inherent nature that aligns with practices that encourage shared and fluid sexual relationships over strict monogamy. Part 6. Exploring the evolutionary significance of human male genitalia. The anatomy of the human male, specifically his genitalia, tells a fascinating story about our evolutionary past and mating strategies. Compared to other primates, the human penis is notably larger relative to body size, and human testes are also comparatively large, externally housed to maintain optimal sperm production temperature. These distinctive features provide crucial insights into the sexual behaviors of our ancestors. Historically, the larger genital size in human males has been understood as an evolutionary response to a highly competitive mating environment. In early human societies, where polyandrous relationships, a female mating with multiple males, were common, the biological imperative was not just to mate, but to ensure paternity. The larger a male's testes, the more sperm he could produce per ejaculation, enhancing his chances of outcompeting other males' sperm. Moreover, the specific shape of the human penis, coupled with the mechanics of the sexual act itself, evolved to maximize reproductive success under these conditions. The action of thrusting is believed to serve not just a copulatory purpose, but also a sperm competition function, potentially displacing semen left by previous mates. Additionally, the composition of semen includes particular chemicals that safeguard a male's sperm from potential sabotage by rival sperm. Interestingly, the evolutionary factors shaping these anatomical characteristics extend beyond reproductive organs. The average height difference between males and females in humans is another trait influenced by our polygamous past. This aspect, known as body size dimorphism, reveals that human females historically may have preferred taller males, likely due to the perceived advantages in a competitive mating framework. In stark contrast, monogamous species like gibbons exhibit minimal size dimorphism, with male and female gibbons evolving to be very similar in size. This aligns more closely with a mating system that relies less on physical competition for mates. Our understanding of these physical traits in humans not only opens a window into the mating strategies of our ancestors, but also shows how deeply intertwined our biological traits are with social and sexual behaviors. As we continue to explore how these factors influenced other aspects of human behavior, it becomes evident that much of our social complexity has roots in these primal evolutionary pressures. Part 7. Echoes of ancestral mating patterns in modern female sexual behavior. Though centuries of agriculture, stringent moral codes, and evolving social norms have shaped human behavior, intriguing remnants of our ancestors' more promiscuous nature still linger, especially in female sexual behavior. Have you ever pondered why some women are particularly vocal during sex, their sounds carrying far and wide? This behavior, far from being a modern phenomenon, has deep evolutionary roots. Historically, the vocalizations made by women during sex, known as female copulatory vocalization, served a strategic purpose. These sounds were likely a signal to other males, essentially announcing that they were engaging in sexual activity. This practice would invite additional males to participate, thereby intensifying sperm competition, a key element of our ancestors' polygamous behaviors. This phenomenon is not unique to humans. Our close relatives, the bonobos, exhibit similar behaviors. The female bonobo's vocalization during sex is so detailed that it communicates not just availability, but also the size of the current male partner and her own reproductive status. This sophisticated signaling mechanism highlights how vocalizations can influence mating behaviors. Furthermore, the female orgasm adds another layer to this evolutionary story. Unlike men, who typically require a recovery period after ejaculation, women are capable of achieving multiple orgasms in quick succession. This capability might have evolved to maximize a woman's chances of conception through continuous intercourse with multiple partners. The fact that women generally take longer to reach orgasm could also be a vestige of sequential mating, where the continuation of sexual activity with subsequent partners was beneficial. In contrast, men's post-ejaculation fatigue might have served to facilitate a change in partners, thus promoting genetic diversity. As we delve deeper into these behaviors, it becomes apparent that our sexual past, marked by a degree of promiscuity, continues to shape our sexual expressions today. Understanding these patterns not only enriches our view of human sexuality, but also poses intriguing questions about the implications for contemporary relationships and social structures. Part 8, Reevaluating Monogamy: How the Ideal of True Love Impacts Our Health and Happiness. The widely cherished notion that true love equates to lifelong monogamy and an eternally fulfilling sex life with one partner is more myth than reality. While the idea of everlasting romantic love is appealing, it doesn't necessarily align with human sexual behavior or emotional needs. Historically, humans have not been strictly monogamous. Our ancestors engaged in sexual activities with multiple partners, suggesting that diversity in sexual relationships is more natural than exclusive pairings. This evolutionary trait clashes with modern narratives presented in romantic comedies and traditional love stories, often leading to dissatisfaction and unhappiness in long-term monogamous relationships. This disparity between expected and natural sexual behavior can cause individuals to conflate love with sexual desire. In today's society, where monogamy is often portrayed as the norm, a decrease in sexual interest over time is mistakenly interpreted as fading love. Conversely, the excitement derived from a new sexual encounter can be misidentified as deep emotional love, further complicating personal and societal understandings of relationships. Beyond emotional confusion, strict adherence to monogamy can have tangible health repercussions. Research indicates that men in long-term monogamous relationships may experience significant reductions in testosterone levels. Since libido and testosterone are closely linked, a diminished sex drive can lead to decreased hormone levels. Low testosterone is associated with several serious health issues, including depression, heart disease, and cancer. These issues highlight the complex interplay between our biological makeup, societal expectations, and personal health. They point to a critical need for a broader understanding and acceptance of human sexuality to foster healthier and more fulfilling relationships. Recognizing and integrating our inherent tendencies with societal norms is vital for nurturing well-being and happiness in our relationships. Part 9, Toward a Healthier Dialogue on Sexuality, Monogamy, and Infidelity. the current disconnect between the widespread cultural endorsement of monogamy and the diverse, often plural biological impulses for sexual engagement sets the stage for a societal re-evaluation of romantic and sexual norms. Initiating open conversations about this disparity is the first step toward reconciliation. It's vital to challenge and rethink the prevailing myths surrounding love and sex, encouraging a broader societal and scientific dialogue. This includes more open discussions in media representations and academic discourse. Transparency and honesty about these topics can lead to a more nuanced understanding of human sexual behavior. Additionally, dialogue within personal relationships about desires and fantasies can lead to greater intimacy and understanding, helping partners navigate the complexities of their needs versus societal expectations. Another crucial step involves changing perspectives on masturbation and adolescent sexual experimentation. Historical demonization of these practices, often influenced by religious and educational doctrines, needs to be replaced with a more accepting and educated approach. During adolescence, when hormonal changes are at their peak, understanding and exploring one's sexuality is not only natural, but healthy. Studies correlate a lack of self-exploration during these years with higher rates of interpersonal violence, highlighting the need for supportive sexual education. In communities like the Murya tribe in India, for instance, teenagers are encouraged to explore their sexuality in a controlled, safe environment, suggesting a model that could be adapted to different cultural contexts to help young people learn about sexuality responsibly and without shame. Finally, it's important to inject a sense of perspective into discussions about sex. It's a natural biological function, intrinsic to our primate heritage, and should not be overly stigmatized or taken too seriously. The playful, experimental aspects of sexuality should be embraced, differentiating it from the deeper, emotionally driven facets of long-term love, characterized by mutual understanding and intellectual connection. By fostering a more open and informed dialogue on these topics, individuals and societies can work towards a healthier, more realistic conception of human relationships and sexuality. Final summary. At the heart of this exploration is a compelling truth. Both men and women are inherently promiscuous, an evolutionary trait designed to maximize reproductive success through diversity and mating. The conventional model of monogamous relationships, predominant in societal narratives and often manifested in the nuclear family structure, is not naturally aligned with our biological inclinations. This cultural construct of monogamy, deeply embedded in the fabric of most modern societies, comes into direct conflict with our more primal urges for multiple sexual partners. This discord manifests in widespread disillusionment and dissatisfaction within relationships, where the cultural ideal of everlasting romantic love and sexual fidelity often collides with natural sexual desires, leading to frustration. Moreover, the enforcement of monogamous relationships and the stigmatization of promiscuity can have profound psychological and physiological effects. Notably, it has been observed that strict adherence to monogamy might lead to decreased testosterone levels in men, potentially resulting in depression, heart disease, and other health issues. This book's exploration challenges us to rethink our perspectives on love, sex, and relationship structures, proposing that a more truthful recognition of our innate tendencies could lead to healthier and more satisfying relationships and societal norms. By embracing a broader understanding of human sexuality and questioning the restrictive frameworks of monogamy, we can address the ingrained misconceptions that often lead to emotional and physical ailments. Ultimately, fostering a dialogue that aligns more closely with our evolutionary heritage promises a future where love and relationships are based on reality rather than idealized myths. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.